Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us here this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, if you would please stand and bow your heads and your hearts as we open up with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Jesus, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your truth. And most of all, we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, and the honor it is to worship you, to sing praises unto your holy name, to give you all the glory, for you and you alone are worthy. We bless you now. We commit this worship service into your care, and we ask that you would take it and use it and glorify yourself through it. And may you change us because of it. We commit this into your care in the wonderful name of the risen Savior, our coming Christ, our King. We do pray.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
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 Awesome. If as we are already standing, so let's, as we get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, God's looking out for you.
Gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do by. Savior,
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do give you praise, for you're a wonderful, awesome God. We really don't belong on this earth, Father, but we do our best to get through from day to day, Lord. Father, we thank you for that wonderful grace you've given us and that helmet of salvation you give us to protect us, Lord. Father, we ask that you look over us and allow us to give ourselves totally to you and let go of everything. Father, we thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I will keep searching for answers that are here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. So the walls come falling down on me. But when I'm lost in a current of rage and sea, I have this blessed assurance holding me. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. When the earth shakes, I want to be found. When the lights fade, I want to be found in you. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. This is not where I belong. This is not.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for lifting us up out of this world, for giving us a future, Lord, allowing us to know that we have you on our side, that we can go through this life and we can hold our head up high, because what a friend we do have in you, Lord, and we thank you for that. Allow us to give everything to you and accept your full protection that you give us. In all things, we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble? He should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Her will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Thou will find a soul is there.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, as we listen to those words, Father, allow us to remember that you will take us in your arms and you will shield us, for we will find solace there, Lord. And we thank you for that, because you are such an awesome and wonderful and mighty God. There isn't anything you won't do for us and that you can't do for us, Lord. Allow us to remember that. Allow us to remember that you have our back. You have our future. Lord, we ask a special blessing over all that are here and those that could not be here. Those that are dealing with sickness or health, Lord, we ask that you bless them and take care of that, Lord, and bring the lost into us so we may share you with them. Father, please bless this church. Bless the pastor. Bless everyone here, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Before we begin or continue this time of worship here this morning, I just want to briefly highlight a couple announcements. And I'm going to pass a couple clipboards around here this morning. And the sudden passing of an individual who attended here, and it was a sudden and shock of his loss and his death. And so Thursday we will be having a funeral service for Rick Smith. And we will be having a funeral dinner, and the clipboards are for those of you here that would feel led to, you know, make a dish, a casserole dish, bring that in. There are directions on the clipboards, and just sign your name as God leads you, as the Spirit moves you to be a part of that wonderful ministry of comforting the family during this time of loss and grief. I'm going to ask Charlene to come forward. She has an announcement for us here this morning.
Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning, Charlene.
Last week I talked about next Wednesday, February 8th. I want everybody to write down. At 7 o'clock, we're going to have a Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts class. And I would love to see our classroom full. So it starts at 7 o'clock, so show up, please. And I just want to say also, it's awesome to see Luke here today, mm-hmm. and Beth also. Yeah. We've been praying for your recovery, and it's awesome to see you here. So show up for our class.
Yep. Thank you, Charlene. Yeah. And we're going to dismiss junior worship as Greg comes forward. Junior worship is for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry especially prepared for you in those grades. And Greg has an announcement here, so take it away there, sir.
Yeah. So it's everyone's favorite part of service. My connection card announcement. Okay, so inside your pews, there should be a connection card. This is for any visitors or anybody that isn't directly plugged in to a program we have at Trinity. We provide, we can provide you information on stuff like baptism or the meaning of certain stuff, or we can get you involved into a certain ministry. So if you're a visitor or someone who isn't directly plugged into a ministry, or maybe you are and you just want to fill one out, you can do that too. Fill that out, hand it in to, should they hand it in the offering?
Put it in the offering, yes.
Put it in the offering, and yeah, so do that.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Greg. And in your bulletin, you will notice a calendar for the month of February, and it just seems like the older that I get, the quicker time goes, and it's hard to believe that we are February 2017 already. I mean, my goodness, where does time go? Please make note of all the happenings and goings-on here at Trinity, and as God leads you, we would love to have you be involved, and so let's join together and be involved. And Rachel, if you want to come forward and make the announcement, that's fine, or I can. Okay. All right, in our parking lot right in front of the shed, you will see there are two bins from Easter Seals. And they've already been here and emptied them once, which is a wonderful thing. This is a fundraiser for the Vacation Bible School Ministry. And the way it works is this, and I don't know about you, but every year I go through my closets, I clean out the clothes that I haven't worn for 6 months or a year, and basically I donate them to Goodwill or some other organization. Well, Easter Seals is collecting, you know, items, clothing items, any cloth items. It doesn't have to just be clothes. You don't have to go through it and say, well, there's a big hole in this shirt, I can't donate that. No, they'll take care of that. And then what they do is they will write Trinity United Methodist Church Vacation Bible School Ministry a check for each pound of clothing or material that we donate. And so they will come out here and pick up and empty the bins as many times in the next month. It actually started on Friday the 27th, which was 2 days ago, and they've already been out here and emptied the bins once, and it will be going through February the 27th. And friends, what a wonderful way to bless the ministry of Vacation Bible School when you're going to probably do that anyway. Okay.
So I give them to Susie, and I'll probably keep them too, so people donate
okay.
Their
yep.
They can get if they would like.
Okay. So you can get a tax deductible, you know, form, receipt that you can, you know, claim the donation on your taxes as well. And so friends, for something that you're most likely going to do anyway, why not put it towards a good cause? And the ministry here at VBS is just expanding and growing each year, and we would love to have everybody join with us and be a part of supporting that vital outreach here within the community of Gibsonburg. Let us listen to the reading of God's word here this morning.
Today's reading will be found again in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 10 through 24, found on page 1824 of your pew Bibles, if you want to read along. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed in its reading. If the ushers will now please come forward for our tithes and offerings.
I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. We're surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? More and all, will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Not be able to speak at all. I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, Lord, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. We're surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Well, and all, will you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Not be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When all I will do is forever, Lord, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Kind and gracious, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. Are those blessings, Father, you placed on your altar this morning, our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them, bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Legend has it that the following story may not be true, and I will tell you this, just a disclaimer, I've seen this on Facebook, but this is not the source of where I'm getting this, but legend tells the following story. A young man was getting ready to graduate from college, and for many months he had admired a beautiful sports car in a dealer's showroom, and knowing his father could well afford it, he told him that that was all that he wanted. As graduation day approached, the young man awaited signs that his father had purchased the car. Finally, on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into his private study. His father told him how proud he was to have such a fine son, and he told him how much he loved him. He handed his son a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious, the son, and somewhat disappointed, this young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible with the young man's name embossed in gold. angry, the son rose his voice to his father and said, "With all your money, you give me a Bible?" And he stormed out of the house. Many years passed, and the young man was very successful in business. He had a beautiful home and a wonderful family, but he realized his father was very old at that time, and he thought perhaps he should go to him. He had not seen him since that graduation day. Before he could make his arrangements to travel to meet his father, he received a telegram telling him that his father had passed away and that he had willed all of his possessions to him, his only son. He was also told that he needed to come home immediately and to take care of things. When he arrived at his father's house, sudden sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through his father's important papers and saw the still gift-wrapped Bible, just as he had left it years ago. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages. His father had carefully underlined a verse, Matthew 7:11, and that states, "And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give to those who ask him?" As he read those words, a car key dropped from the back of the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name, the same dealer who had the sports car he had desired. On the tag was the date of his graduation and the words, "Paid in full." Friends, that's a legend. It's a gripping tale. And it really brings us to the forefront of how do we interact with gifts? We've got a table full of different packaging of gifts. And sometimes we think when we receive a gift, we try to guess what's in it based upon the size and the shape of the package. In my family, we have this tradition that the young kids, they eagerly run at Christmas time over to the Christmas tree, read the tag, "Oh, to so-and-so from so-and-so," and they distribute them. And yet, many times, people aren't aware of what's in those gifts, in those packages. The same is true with God. You see, God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. He is with us here this morning. And sometimes we feel like we know what's best for our lives, and we look at what God gives to us, and we look at the external package of that gift, and we say, "That's not what I need." And sometimes we even angrily get up and walk away and say, "Lord, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I asked you for." And sadly, God being all-knowing, he knows exactly what it is that we will need in our life. We're going through the series of the armor of God. And we've been processing and processing through this series. And today we find ourselves at the piece of armor called the helmet of salvation. Over the last several weeks, we've talked about the belt of truth. We've talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace. And last week, we talked about the shield of faith and how it's an act of stewardship that we need to grow our faith and we need to pick up our faith. This morning, we are going to talk about the helmet of salvation. And I want to just read that verse here this morning. I want to give you the imagery of what's going on here in that verse. Ephesians 6, verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul, who most likely was in a prison in Rome and chained to a Roman soldier at the very time, he has this imagery emblazoned in his mind. And he begins to pen this, and he finally says, "Finally, stand against the wiles," or against the wicked ways of the enemy. And this is how you do it. You start with truth, which is the basis of the direction for your life. You put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is your moral life choices and the ethical decisions that you make. The shoes of peace, experiencing the internal tranquility and harmony for your life. And then you take up the shield of faith, following God in full obedience. And then he says this, "Besides all these, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and receive. Now, I've looked at many different translations, and I'm here to tell you that most translations will word it this way, "and take The imagery is an imagery here, friends, that the soldier has already girded himself and clothed himself with his most of his armor. He's already picked up the shield of faith, and he's got one hand left. And the imagery is another individual, whether that be a soldier or a commander, handing him his helmet. When I played football all the years, I remember when I was in junior high, they'd go through all these different rooms, and you'd get your thigh boards, your knee pads, you'd get your girdle, you'd get your shoulder pads, and by the time you're a seventh grader and you got all this equipment here, and then you finally get to the helmet room. You don't even got no place to do that or put that. And you got a coach in there handing you a helmet, and that is the imagery that is going on here. And friends, it's not a commander, it's the commander. The commander-in-chief, not our president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, Jesus, who stands there ready and willing, handing you and me the helmet of salvation. That's the imagery going on here. Now, the implications are very staunch. They're very horrific, if you ask me, because day in and day out, and there isn't really a week that doesn't go by that I don't meet an individual who at one time was blazing a trail for Christianity and claiming that they did this and they believed that. And then they go off the rails. And you have to wonder, what's the deal? As far as I can guess, as far as I can understand, Jesus stood there handing them the helmet of salvation, and they refused it. They walked away. They did not take it. They did not receive it. The imagery is striking to me because in my family, the youngsters, they gather up and they want to pass out the gifts, and they walk over and they say, oh, this is the so-and-so from... Sometimes it says Santa Claus in my family. And then they pass it. In order to receive the gift, you take it. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, the helmet of salvation, it protects the focal, the center of your very being. Now, before we go any further, I want to define exactly what salvation is. And it's defined as being a broad term referring to God's activity on behalf of creation, and especially humans, in bringing all things to God's intended goal. And more specifically, it entails God's deliverance of humans from the power and effects of sin. Now, sin is missing God's mark of perfection, and there's not a person that is alive today or will be alive or has been alive except Jesus, who will be perfect. We are imperfect creatures. And so the deliverance of all people who choose to receive the gift of God's salvation will be released from the power, the word effects of sin and the fall through the work of Jesus Christ, so that creation in general and people in particular can enjoy the fullness of life intended for what God has made. I'm going to read that last sentence again. The reason that God has given you and me salvation is so that you and I can enjoy the fullness of life. The Westminster Confession puts it this way: the chief end of man or all people is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So you can enjoy the fullness of life which God intended for everything He created. So let's look at that. What that's saying is that you nor I can fully enjoy to the fullness of what God wants you and me to enjoy outside of a relationship with Him. There's your answer, friends. There's my answer. Receiving phone calls from prisons. Receiving phone calls that somebody had passed away. Receiving phone calls that somebody's caught up in a mess that they never intended to be in.
They're trying to enjoy the fullness of life outside of a constant continuation of a fully fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And you cannot do it. You cannot do it. And yet God still stands there and he says, here it is, friends. Here it is, the ones that I love. Won't you just take it? And people walk away. And they refuse. And they say, I didn't want a Bible, I wanted a car key. And yet all the while, what we need is in the package that God gives to you and me. Even when it doesn't look like what we think it should look like. Now the interesting thing, the theologian Paul Tillich, he basically goes and he says that, you know, salvation, it can indicate many connotations. And he basically itemizes all of this. It doesn't matter your age here. He goes on and he says, in the early beginning days of the church, death and error were the risks from which deliverance was sought. And salvation was the gift of knowledge of God and immortality. In classical Protestantism, salvation was the forgiveness of sins and rescue from the condemnation of the law. In pietism and revivalism, salvation is the conquest of specific sins and progress toward moral perfection. In the modern period, the ultimate threat, according to Tillich, is meaninglessness. And salvation is the gift of meaning, purpose, and wholeness of life. It doesn't matter your hang-up here. It doesn't matter your struggle. If you are wrestling, it doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus is saying, here I am, and receive the helmet of salvation. Receive it. I just want to highlight three things, and we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, that we need to understand about salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 3 and 4, the first thing is that we need to recognize that salvation is God's work. It's God's work. It begins with God and it ends with God. It is God's work. It is a free gift from God. It does not matter what we do, what we've done, where we've been, or how bad we've made a mess of things. Salvation is God's work. It is his initiative and stepping toward us, and it's up to us to receive. We're told in Ephesians 2, verse 3 and 4, among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. We tried to live a fulfilling life, did we not? We tried to do what we thought would bring us fullness, did we not? We tried, in essence, to search out salvation apart from God. Now, if your experience in life is like mine, I'll tell you that that life just left you wanting. It left you with less than what you thought you had. It didn't leave you built up. It left you torn down. It left you exhausted. It left you in such a state that you're like, I don't know that I can continue to do this. And quite frankly, you can't. And so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of humankind. But God is rich in mercy. Who is rich in mercy? Out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. Grace is unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Salvation is God's work. We need to recognize that it begins with God and it ends with God. There is nothing that you can do or I can do to ever add or fulfill or, you know, finish the salvation. It's in Christ and Christ alone. 2,000 years ago, Jesus bought and he purchased you and me, and he paid the ultimate price by laying down his life and gave up his life being sacrificed and crucified on the cross. There's nothing you can do. It's God's work. With his gift of salvation and stepping toward you. Your responsibility or the onus that you and I have is this. What are you going to do with God, with Jesus, holding out the gift of salvation to you and me? Are we going to receive it? Now, the Bible talks about salvation in the past tense. This is in the past tense. Actually, in verse 8, it's in the past tense. We have been saved 2,000 years ago. Jesus put in effect salvation. He bought and purchased and paid the ultimate price for those sins, for the future sins, for the sins of all the people who would choose him. When he returns, when we die, we will be saved. Future tense. The present tense is today. Salvation is for here and for now. It's for you and for me. And the way that we experience salvation today is by receiving his gift. When he stands there saying, here is the helmet of salvation. And the way that we receive it is by letting him come to us and meeting him there. We do that by prayer. We do that by reading his word. We do that by fellowshipping with other believers in Christ. And then we are saved from our fits of rage, our anger, our bitterness, our resentfulness, our unforgiveness. We're saved from the consequences of all those choices that our lives will put us on those tracks. You see, the individual that finds themselves locked up doesn't wake up one morning and all of a sudden they're locked up. No, it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. The individual that wakes up and struggles with alcoholism doesn't wake up and one day he's an alcoholic. No. The heroin epidemic that we're experiencing in our world today. An individual doesn't go out and say, I think I'm going to be a heroin addict. No, it doesn't happen that way. It's a choice. And all the while, Jesus is standing there holding his free gift of the helmet of salvation. And friends, if we would only receive, if we would only receive it, if we would only receive it, our anger would be diminished. It would be taken away. You cannot be angry at someone that you're praying for. Do you realize that? Why do you think Jesus said, love those who persecute you and pray for your enemies? You cannot be angry at somebody that you're praying for. That's salvation, friends. That's salvation from ourselves. That's salvation from the effects of our choices. And we need to understand that salvation is God's work and only God's work. But our role and our responsibility is to receive what God wants to give to us every single day. Salvation is not a one-time deal and then I die and I'm in heaven. But you're not going to enjoy the fullness of life. You can do that. But what I want for you and what Jesus wants for you and what he wants for all Christians is he wants you and me to experience the absolute fullness of life. And that is salvation. The second thing that we need to understand is we need to realize that salvation is God's gift to us. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. Not because of works. Not because of anything that you or I could do. Because if it were, you'd have all these hierarchies in the church. Oh, look at me. I can do this. Look at me. I'm so good. Look at me. And I've achieved this. That's hogwash and that's bunk. It's the gift of God. And when we take up the armor of God and when we receive the helmet of salvation and you've got that one hand and your shield is in the other hand and you put that helmet on your head, then the doubt, the discouragement is buffered, friends. The enemy that brings doubt and discouragement into your life, when you open yourself up and you exchange communication with the living Lord Jesus Christ, that doubt and that discouragement, it doesn't have an answer. And I'm not telling you that you won't doubt or be discouraged. I struggle. I could tell you days. You see the worst? There's discouragement. But you know what? If you run to the foot of the cross, you bow your head and you seek Jesus Christ, there's something spiritual that happens. And I'm not talking about a fuzzy feeling. That's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that happens deep in your soul that there is no human explanation for. And then all of a sudden that doubt and that discouragement, it goes away. And then you have that at salvation for the day. And you can go and take the next step. But it's God's gift. If we would only take it, it's God's gift. The third thing we need to understand is found in Ephesians 2, verse 7 and verse 10. It says that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for the good works which he had prepared beforehand. Won't you open the gift? That's what Jesus is saying. Open the gift. It may not look like what you want it to look like. It may not be exactly what you want it to be. In fact, it might be dinged up and have marks on it all over the place. Sometimes salvation isn't shiny. But you know what? It's salvation. Won't you open the gift today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day? And the way that you do that is you meet the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, on your knees in prayer, in scripture reading, in fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in the church. And they exhort you to go back to the Lord. Won't you meet and receive what God has for you today? You see, in antiquity, in Paul's day, it was unheard of. It was unheard of to enter the battlefield without two pieces of armor. The shield and the helmet. When I was in college, this is the helmet that I wore for the last year. The college that I attended, there was this really good rugby team. I don't know if you know about rugby or not, but they were always after me to play. And you know why I wouldn't play? I didn't have a helmet. Rugby players don't wear helmets. That doesn't make sense to me. So why, as Christians, should we be in life without the helmet of salvation? We shouldn't. May it never be. May it never, ever, ever be. May we always meet Jesus as he stands there with the gift of salvation for the day, for the moment, for the hour, for the minute sometimes, for the second, for the year, for the month, for the week. May we stand there and may we accept what he has for us. And it will always be what you need. It may not look like what you want it to look like. It may not come in the same package that you think it should come in. It may not be the color that you want it to be. But yet it will be what you need, friends. And it will be a helmet for your head that will defeat the doubt and the discouragement from your life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you, O Lord, that not only 2,000 years ago did you save us, and not only when we die or when you return will you save us, but we are being saved every day. May you give us the discipline, the courage, the diligence to receive your gift for our lives today. We thank you, O Lord. We bless you, O Christ. We honor you, Heavenly Father. And we pray this in the mighty name of the risen Savior Jesus. We do pray. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like ever before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name.
Before we close, we're going to sing that song one more time, and I want to just make it be known that we are here. We are here for you this morning. Sometimes we get in such a state in our life that we just need the ministry of presence of other people in our lives. Friends, that's available to you here this morning. There are people that will talk with you, to pray with you, to encourage you and uplift you. And I just want to invite anyone who is struggling today, who would like someone to pray with them, to encourage them, to make it known that you are not alone in this journey of life. Come forward as we sing this song one last time.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, but your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my
of all grace, peace, love, and mercy. May he bless you and keep you, and may you meet him and receive what he has for you this day and for the days to come. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.